When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. Hey, guys. Bill Spadia here. Welcome back to Speaking Millennial. I am with Jay Black and Jessica Nutt. And we have a very special guest, Katie Saracola. Katie, Yay. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
We are doing great.
Good.
So we got... what happened? We got confused. We thought we had like three different guests.
What do you mean?
Katie, all of a sudden you got lumped into this whole conversation about some woman on Twitter that your wife...
No.
Am I confused?
You're confused. You brought up a girl that you saw on Twitter that you thought would be good for the show. And I said, when you mentioned that Katie was coming on,
I thought that was the same girl.
It's not the same girl.
I got it.
Right. And then my wife said, oh, I talked to girls who are big Trump fans and they have a big Instagram account and they were on The Mirror. And I said, hey, we should get them on the show as well. So that's. And Katie, earlier this...
What are you guys talking?
This won't show up.
We were all confused about who our guest was.
Right. We didn't know. Katie, earlier you came on and I said something off color, but I did not know you were on the air. So I apologize.
Oh, it's fine. I'm good.
I think Katie's used to taking that. So Katie, you are, you're out of college now?
Yes, I am. I graduated in 2016.
Oh, from where?
From Seton Hall University.
What do you think, Jay?
Seton Hall, that's a good college.
It's a good school, right?
Yeah, I loved it.
So what do you do now? You've been writing about politics, and I am always fascinated by young people who are not only Trump supporters, but articulate about it. Now, be warned, you could trigger Jay Black. He's not a huge Trump fan. But I brought you on because I want you to talk to him, and I think we're going to find some common ground here. See, I have goals, okay. Jay.
Yeah, no, I would love to have my mind changed about Trump, because every day I look at the news and I want to put my head into a hacksaw. So if you could change my mind, Katie,
Jay said when his daughter turns 16, his mind will change about Trump.
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
Oh,
you know what? You did say that.
Well, that sounds about right.
What did you mean by that?
I don't know. It sounds like something I would say, but I really that might have just been me talking.
So Katie, help him out a little bit.
Why should I be happy that Trump is our president?
All right. Well, my favorite part about Trump's presidency is that he lowered my taxes. So I don't know why anyone would complain about that.
Well, I guess my problem with the tax break is that the amount of people that got the people who got the tax break seems to be the ones who have the most money, not the people like me who's right in the middle.
But wait, let's go back. I want to understand how a millennial gets into politics in the first place, because every millennial we talk to, I would say almost every guest we have, they absolutely could not care less about what's going on in the world.
For example, I was watching Trump announce his nominee, and I was only watching it because it came on during The Bachelorette.
Mm-hmm.
And I was texting Katie, and I was like, God, it's going to end up, we're going to talk about politics with her the entire podcast. It's going to devolve.
So we don't have to.
No, I actually...
I'd rather not.
But no, I mean, if it were in the middle of The Bachelor, I don't know if I would have watched it otherwise.
Right? See,
I'll say this. In all honesty, I want to be calmed down because I do look at the world that we're in and it seems like it's not going in a good direction. So if you can make me feel better about that, Katie, I honestly won't argue with you if you could just tell me why I should not be scared.
Okay. I mean, I think foreign policy has been in a great direction. No one's really been able to talk to North Korea the way Donald Trump has. And I think a lot of liberals thought that his mannerisms and the way he was going about it wasn't going to work, but it seems like it's going down the right path, so that's a good thing.
But what about all those reports that they're not denuclearizing?
Well, I mean, I think that might happen, but I think that Trump can bring it back around, and maybe he can go out there and talk to them and get it back to where it started.
But what gives you faith about that? Because in all honesty, like, I look at what's happened so far in North Korea, and it sounds like that Trump walked away from that and said, oh, we're getting the bodies back, the ashes or whatever, the remains, and that didn't happen. He said they're going to denuclearize, and that didn't happen. It seems like he walked away from that basically with his own reality and not the actual reality of what was actually happening.
Well, I mean, there were three prisoners that he was able to bring home to America, so that was a big victory that no one else was able to do.
That was nice. That was good. I will give credit to that. But ultimately, the goal was denuclearization. It didn't seem like that's going to happen anytime soon.
God, are we talking about denuclearization?
Well, I think it's North Korea.
It's devolving, I think.
It's devolving?
Here's my question. My question is, how hard is it to be a conservative as a young woman? Because I think young women get beat up, no matter if they don't follow along with mainstream culture. I think they get a lot more flack than if you're very liberal. I think the media and socially, people are more forgiving if you're a liberal.
Yeah, I can definitely identify with that.
Jay, what do you think?
I think that,
or you don't care, like people who don't care.
Go on. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, for instance, I posted a picture on the 4th of July with a Make America Great Again shirt on, and I lost like 10 of my Instagram followers for, you know, doing nothing but supporting my president and supporting the great nation that we live in. And some millennials just don't want to see that for some reason. So, you know, I mean, it's no skin off my back, but at the same time, I think that everyone should come to the table and, you know, understand that we all have freedoms to express our opinions.
Well, yeah, I think that, one of the things that, you know, being able to post that is the freedom, and being able to say I'm not going to follow someone is also the freedom of that.
But you don't unfollow people, Jay.
I don't. I'm not on Twitter.
You're not really on Twitter.
I'm not on Twitter. I'm not on Instagram. I'm not on anything. I think that, I look at that cesspool that is social media, and it feels very toxic to me that,
may talk me out of social media tonight.
Well, the whole thing about
such
social media. Well, no, right? Here's the thing about social media when it comes to like important issues. Social media became like this big game that we're all playing, right? Where like you win points if you get likes, if you get refollows, if you get retweets. It's a game,
you're
right?
You're talking about the Black Mirrors episode?
Well, basically, right? but when we are talking about real issues, like...
Wait, is that the one with the pig?
No.
No. Well, that's the same. No. Yeah.
It's the same, show. It's
that's what I meant, right?
Different episode.
I watched the pilot. Right. I was horrified.
Yeah.
Why? Because it was about politics?
It was about a pig. And I'm like, it's disgusting.
You saw this? Did you see this, Jessica? Yeah, it's about sex with a pig. We've all been
disgusting.
There. We've all gotten drunk.
But to Katie's point, though, it's true. People react. They unfollow. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's okay.
Well,
but you and I are exactly opposite. I mean, Mike was pointing it out in our last episode last week, Mike Casey,
right.
that how are you and I friends?
Yes.
My Twitter account, I mean, I am aggressively pro-Trump.
Right. Well, I don't follow any of that. That's how we're friends, I think.
But my listeners let you have it, though, when you come in and you fill in.
Oh, God, they hate me.
I don't think they hate you. I think they just like to engage. They get mad because what you do is you bring up Trump.
Yes.
Trump is a trigger word for a lot of people.
Oh, God.
Like, I hear it and I'm positive. I'm like, yeah, Trump, let's talk about him.
I guess the feeling I have about Trump is that if it were any other guy, right, literally any other guy, there would not be support for him. So I guess what I wish that someone explained to me is like, you know, if word got out that like Barack Obama, who, by the way, Sean Hannity yelled at for having a tan suit, right? Like, it's un-American. He's ordering Dijon mustard. He's un-American. If Barack Obama...
Born with the flag pin and the whole hand of your heart.
But Barack Obama gave a salute holding coffee and Fox News lost their minds. Donald Trump saluted a North Korean general and everybody went, yeah, it's no problem.
This is what you do.
It's no big deal. If Barack Obama had saluted a North Korean general, Sean Hannity's intestines would have shot out of his eyeballs.
But here's the difference. So Katie, so I spotted Katie on Twitter because she's been writing. You're writing for AFP, is that right?
For what? I'm sorry.
Is it for Americans for Prosperity? Who do you write for? Or is it just you?
No, Steve Jersey.
Oh, right. Matt Rooney. So
right.
She
okay.
writes with Matt Rooney's blog. That's it. So Rooney is great, friend of the show.
Love Matt Rooney.
Yes.
Love Matt Rooney.
Definitely.
But again, back to my question, like, why the vitriol? Like, forget Fox News. I'm talking about people personally.
Yeah.
So I live in Princeton. Everyone's a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
I have more Democrat friends than not. I'm able to talk to people who don't like Trump and be fine with it.
But I think...
And I was looking at some of Katie's posts, totally measured, totally factual, yet people throw the hate... Like it's like they want it
because it's
they,
an online
they literally
cesspool.
Wish violence on people. It's nuts. But it's not the other way when you're talking about mainstream people. There's a fringe.
So when you talk about like people in life, not online. I'm saying
like
you mentioned
like InfoWars and stuff like that. Like some of those guys are just like, who's the guy? Who's the
Alex Jones?
Whack job, right? Guy's a whack job.
I would say actively evil.
Well, I think he's actively evil. He's nuts.
Talking about like false flag operations is actively evil.
But like Katie is a writer, and here's this young woman who graduated in 2016, talking about Trump. And Katie, my guess is you get all kinds of hate on Twitter because I see it. Now I embrace it.
Yeah,
I love the hate. Right? Do you do what I do now? Do you start to embrace it and retweet it?
Yeah, I do, because at least it means people are paying attention and maybe they're thinking about what I'm saying, and they might not agree with it, but at least they're getting engaged in politics and what's happening around their world.
Exactly. And that was my whole point. But I think as a teacher, Jay, you agree that let's just have a conversation. You and I have been able, we have literally argued over the Lusitania.
Right. No, I think, but that's the thing. Person-to-person actual interactions are valuable and real, and they actually, you can change your mind or you can actually engage with somebody. My problem is online, everybody's just trying to score a point. And, you know, I used to write for AOL, and I would write about the Jersey Shore and get death threats. I mean, people would say, like, I can't believe you'd say that about Jim Tan Laundry. And they would send me notes about how I'm the worst human being alive. I can't imagine what it's like talking about actual things that matter. So I'm wondering if anybody anywhere can actually make a point that matters online. I feel like it can only happen interpersonally, not in the cesspool that is Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. Because it feels toxic to me.
Katie?
I understand what you're saying, but I think that that's part of Donald Trump's charm and magic, because I know that it's toxic and it can be frustrating to read certain things online, but Donald Trump embraces that, and he understands that especially millennials are getting a lot of their news from Twitter. And it sounds crazy, but if that's where they are, then he took advantage of that and he's tried to speak to them through tweets.
Yeah, it feels like Hearst and the Yellow Press to me. It feels like, you provide the writing, I'll provide the war. So, like, taking advantage of the media isn't good.
But don't you think the difference is you go back 50 years, 100 years, that was the only outlet. Now, everyone's a fact checker. There are multiple outlets. And, like, I was thinking about this, the whole spin. I love to watch MSNBC because I listen to NPR and I watch MSNBC. I know it's not right, and people are like, how do you do it? I'm like, well, I don't get angry at it. I listen to what they're saying, and the spin on, for example, this latest Supreme Court nominee, who I think he's an excellent judge. I think just objectively speaking, the guy has an incredible career that he's already had, let alone what he'll do going forward. But I love the fact that Trump gave out a list of 25 people and said it's going to be one of these people. And I don't think you can go back for four presidents and find anybody that transparent. Yet that's not discussed. So the protesters, before the announcement was made, they literally had signs made for every single possible choice.
Right.
And they're like, all right, who is it? Kavanaugh. Get the Kavanaugh signs. It's a little disingenuous. To me, it's not an honest conversation.
Well, you can't say Mitch McConnell saying it's okay that we're going to vote on this is not disingenuous, because he held up Merrick Garland's nomination for no good reason except he didn't want to vote on him. Like, there was no reason at all.
No, there was. It was his presidential election year, unlike Kagan, who was confirmed in a midterm.
But
election.
Where does that say anywhere in the Constitution that you wait until the election? It is you advising consent is all you do.
That's the interesting thing.
But there's nowhere anywhere except in Mitch McConnell's turtle shell where that's a good idea.
He didn't quote the Constitution.
He said, I'm just going to not do this because screw all of you. I'm going to do what I want to do.
Katie, do you see that? So that's part of the. That's part of the conversation, the frustration that the other side has when you're not in charge. And I think that frustration is actually going to lead to potentially Republican gains in 2018. Mike?
Yeah. The thing about Kavanaugh, though, I don't think he's as wonderful of a judge as people say. I mean, it took him 3 years to get confirmed when Bush was in office because he was, they said he was a partisan hack. It's not like,
I thought he was a little too liberal, personally. He was not my first choice. I thought Barrett was an excellent choice. And Kethridge, who's the other one? Is it Kethridge?
I forget.
Isn't that amazing? It's like you forget who lost the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like who won the Super Bowl? You know that. Like who lost? I have no idea.
The Patriots, badly.
Oh, stop. I'm also the a Patriots fan.
Badly this year.
Well, I'm actually not an NFL fan anymore. I forgot, right?
I guess ultimately where I have an issue is that there's a floating reality online that I can find the reality that makes the most sense to me as opposed to being forced to engage in a reality that I don't agree with, which might be more accurate. Meaning that I can just follow the people on Twitter that reconfirm the echo chamber I want to live in, regardless of where I stand on anything. So if we're in a post-fact world, what does it, you know, of course everybody is in an existential crisis because what the hell is existence if they're in a post-fact world?
But I don't think we're all in that.
No, but we are, though.
I'm not in a crisis.
This is the
I'm actually quite comfortable.
Self-reflecting Jay has ever gotten.
It really is. I'm very impressed, actually. Yeah. So, but Katie, do you follow people you disagree with?
Yeah, I definitely
do. You see, I do, too. I follow everybody I disagree with. You see, I love that. I like to see when they come unhinged, when something happens and you watch it in real time.
Right, but when was the last time someone you disagreed with changed your mind? And there's the big pause. Well, nobody is using the people that we disagree with except as a troll.
No, not necessarily. I think like an article like the one I read with the kid, your last article, that went out to all your followers. I retweeted it. The station retweeted it. I don't know how many people read that because I find with callers, they actually will engage with me and learn something as long as I'm not going total partisan hack. So I beat up the parties because... Matt Rooney does that. Katie does that. I think there's actually a legitimate conversation going on. And people who, like millennials, don't come from any grounded philosophical position.
Right, because so they can't find ground. They can't find an actual ground. It's everyone's fault. It's the monetization of the news industry. It used to be a loss leader that they had to do as a public service. And all of a sudden, deregulation hit in the 80s, and it was like, we're going to make money from the news stream. So we're going to create news that people, you know, like instead of news that people need. And it's nobody's fault except the profit motive. But when you expand that out...
You're a capitalist.
I am a capitalist.
I don't think so.
But if you're going to ask me why that's the case, you need to sometimes swallow things that you don't like. But we can now live in a world where, you know, the average Fox consumer is 975 years old and between catheter ads can get exactly what they want from Sean Hannity every night.
But it's exactly the same thing on
It's
MSNBC.
Exactly the same thing on MSNBC and CNN. And whatever is said on MSNBC, the people on Fox can go, no, that's not true. And vice versa. So where is the objective set of reality that we all agree on that somebody, if news came out about Trump and he said fake news, he'll say fake news about literally any bad news that comes out about him.
Most of what he's saying is fake news.
But here's the thing. How do you know? How does anybody know?
Well, you can do research. Actually,
how?
Facts are actually available.
So where
are actual facts?
Bill, I think here's what gets, I think this is what gets me. I don't know if it's the same for Jay. It's not the fact that we understand that there are problems with the news media. Look at MSNBC, right? Once they were acquired by Comcast, they stopped covering net neutrality. That wasn't an accident, okay?
Right, of course. There was
a profit motive there, okay? But we can look at that and we can address that. Donald Trump has been attacking the news media. He's been attacking the institutions of government. He's been attacking political enemies. These are the classic signs of a fascist
dictator.
But this
is exactly what Obama did. The Obama Justice Department, the Obama IRS went after conservative groups. They did exactly the same thing. As a matter of fact, I would argue Trump has not done that at all. All Trump has done is tweeted about
When did he attack Fox News? He never did. He never called his enemies. Called them names. He never threatened to jail them.
To be fair, he didn't need to. He literally had every other media outlet with him. And they did.
Yeah,
you're wrong
about
that.
No, you said he did it. He did not.
No, I said he went for conservative groups. He used the IRS. He used the Justice Department. That's absolutely a fact. They did. And Trump has undone a lot of that. So I think you've got a situation now where, again, it's the two sides using the power that they have. But with Trump... But it's way more social media and impression than it is leveraging the power of government.
Yeah, but Bill, after the Janus ruling, Trump went on Twitter and said we're gonna empty the coffers of the unions.
Yes,
like, that's what he said.
What's wrong with that?
Because those are his political enemies. That's exactly what you were saying. Obama did.
But I'm not. I'm saying that's what they do. I don't understand
the
how
stolen...
Trump. I mean, the Janus ruling, so everyone knows that allowed for employees, public employees, to say I don't have to pay union dues. That's an unbelievable victory for liberty, right? Katie, you wrote about this.
Yeah,
this
is, it's giving the employees more freedom, and I think that's what we all want is freedom.
Why is that wrong?
America.
Why is that wrong? Because that's not what the intent is. Okay. This is big business trying to undermine organized labor in America like they've been trying to do for the past 40 years. And you know what? This is a
but
big...
You could argue organized labor is undermining not only people's liberty, but their constitutional rights with the money. I mean, look, for example, look at what the NJEA did. Now, my guess is you remember the NJEA, and you're not going to opt out because you probably support the politics of the NJEA. They spent $5 million trying to unseat Steve Sweeney, who, right, state senator, and failed, and he went after them. So it was the left and the right that have both gone after them. But to me, the idea of a right to work, where people have a choice, unions collapse. So it tells me that it's the same thing with PERG on campus, the Public Interest Research Group, and that scam of the negative checkoff. You had to opt out of giving your money to an interest group that was a left-wing political arm.
All right, but that's
right?
Were you saying where people have the right to do it, they collapse? I think you're mistaking.
Union membership correlation is like 11% over the course of in the country in terms of union membership and right to work states. And I think there are 22 or Katie, correct?
Yeah, but look at wages 26. And healthcare and right to work states. They're way lower.
But that has much more to do with the cost of living. I mean, you're talking about places like Alabama. I mean, it's a very different world than New York and New Jersey.
Maybe.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, I think the idea of either we believe that people have to make their own choices and push their own destiny, or we believe they have to be coddled and taken care of and protected. And that's what people are paying the unions protection money, and it's not working anymore. And thank God, I have no issue with what Trump said.
I mean, are individual laborers going to bargain with Walmart? Like that you have no bargaining power. What am I going to hire a lawyer to fight, you know, a room full of corporate attorneys?
But that's part of the challenge. Well, and that's funny you say that. I defended, and Katie, I don't know if you wrote about this in that article about the unions, but I defended the police and firefighters unions, saying that my recommendation is no cop or firefighter should opt out of their union. And the reason is, they're doing a job that you could literally be the subject of the next viral video, and your entire life is going to be undone.
They should have union,
right? Sure. And I think they have to have it. And you know, and I. But even the cop union wasn't enough to protect Darren Wilson, who was the cop in Ferguson. So I've written about this, saying it didn't even help him. Like, the guy had to go into hiding for doing his job. So I think there's a disconnect in that. Is it a political agenda? And when one side's in power, everyone is happy, like, well, my guy's in, so I don't care what he does. Versus
I think
the reality
Ferguson is a perfect example of what I was just talking about, which is, if you're on the right, you have one set of facts about Ferguson. If you're on the left, you have another set of facts about Ferguson. Both sides scream loudly that they have the right set of facts, and none of us were there for Ferguson.
Yeah, so but evidence matters. I don't believe you believe that.
No, but where do you get the evidence? Where?
Well, there was a grand jury. There was a prosecutor. There was an evidence matters. I mean, there was evidence and witnesses.
I think we have a president right now that would argue that there are such a thing as conspiracies. So is the conspiracy only the deep state who is drumming up an investigation against Trump? Or is there also a conspiracy of deep-seated racism that exists that people have been talking about for 60 years? What I'm saying is
where's the racism? What do you mean?
What? No, there's institutionalized racism that has existed for 60 years in this country that you could argue is more damaging than anything that happens in the deep state. And yet there is a weakening of the Justice Department by Donald Trump simply because he's being investigated. So he's saying any evidence that you see coming out of the Mueller investigation is bullshit because I'm Donald Trump and that's what I say. And people go, okay, so I guess there's a conspiracy there.
I don't think you're characterizing it.
But no, but that's what he's
correctly.
Saying, though. I
mean, 13 angry Democrats.
Yeah, 13 angry Democrats, which is not true. How do we know? Because we each have our set of facts.
The text among the FBI agents were all made public. That's how you know. You know exactly what's
time
going
for
on.
It was our commercial break.
Commercial break
from our sponsors? Well, anyway, Katie, so how do people read your stuff? Because we could literally go all night now. How do people get your articles? Where do they find you on Twitter? Because I think Mike Casey may start trolling you, maybe not.
Mike Casey got so angry, he started creeping up.
I did. I'm sorry.
You can find me on savejersey.com or on facebook.com/minutewithkatie. That's where I'm posting a lot of my videos too.
Oh, the Millennial Minute, right?
Yes.
All right. So I want to have you back on the show and talk politics. And so when's your next article coming out?
On Monday. We usually do every Monday.
Oh, all right, good. All right, so Jay, I will send you the link to that.
I am coming from the point of view of I want to live in a world where I can read reality. and everybody's got their own. And that's what's so existentially sad to me, because what, how can we decide on what's real if everybody lives in their own reality? And that makes me very sad. And I'm going to go take some Wellbutrin.
Yeah, but I think it's your job to find all these different articles and ideas and videos and then piece together what you believe.
But that's not, shouldn't be my job. That should be the job of an independent press. That's what they purport to be, is the fourth estate. They purport to be the independent press. And that has gone, at least, maybe it's never existed, but at least in my lifetime, there was a time where you'd go, well, you know, Tom Brokaw said it, so it's true. And now it goes, well, Tom Brokaw said this or whoever. And I go, I don't agree with that, so I'm going to go find a guy that says the things I agree with. And nobody lives in anything except an echo chamber.
Which I disagree with 100%.
I would love to live in your world, yeah, though.
My world is great. I'll tell you. I love it. I retweet the hate. I battle with people. And you learn facts, because when you push hard enough, the truth always comes out.
But where, if we're getting the truth from reporters and everything is fake news, how do you know, other than you go, well, that guy sounds like he, I agree with him, what's fake and what's not? Who's not, who is somebody, actually, Katie, I'll ask you, who is somebody I can get facts from that's real and good and is,
Katie,
impartial?
You don't have to answer this question.
No, I'm not trolling. I am I'm actually curious. Give me one person who is not fake that I can follow.
You can follow me. I'm not fake.
There you go, Katie. You can also follow me, Jay. I am also not fake. You know who you ought to follow? The President of the United States.
Follow
Trump.
His tweets reach me.
Show you the way.
His tweets reach me.
Show you the way. All right. And you know what, though? This sadness, though, is going to last, because it looks like 2020 is coming, and it's looking pretty good for the Donald.
I'm hoping.
It's looking pretty good.
I'm actually hoping.
That economy.
To be dead by then. If everything works out okay for me.
No, we got a lot of things to do before that.
Oh, no, I get all that stuff done, and then I die.
Katie, you were great. Thank you for coming on, and I'll be in touch. We'll definitely have you on with your next article. So do me a favor, when you have it, tag me in the tweet on Monday.
Okay.
Actually, wait, not this Monday. Oh, my God. I took 2 weeks off.
Nice.
I literally took a two-week vacation. It's never happened.
You're not going to work on Monday?
So I am not going to work on Monday. But wait.
Enjoy.
Wait,
this is airing 2 weeks from now?
Wait, you're taking like a honeymoon then.
Yeah, 2 weeks. I'm just done. I'm done. I'm checking out. No Twitter. A little bit of Twitter.
What did you do for your wife for your anniversary then?
Right? This is my gift. I'm like, I'm taking 2 weeks off. We have no plans yet either. That's a whole other story.
I was just thinking.
So, Katie, do me a favor. Text me when you're the link to your next article, because I am off social media for 2 weeks.
Okay.
What?
And look, that's my plan. That's my plan, all right? It's not. I don't know. Actually, we will know when this airs whether or not I was successful. We're taking bets.
All right, there's an over-under at the Twitter office. Handle?
But how will we know if you...
Katie, what's your Twitter?
It's KCeriCola94.
Perfect.
Caracircle. K... what?
C-E-R-I-C-O-L-A.
The year I graduated high school.
Awesome. All right. Thank you, Katie. Appreciate the time. We'll be in touch.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
We have a couple new sponsors in 2018. Rob DeKansky of RE/MAX First Advantage. You can reach him at 855-350-1015 or online at robsellsnj.com. True story, Rob sold my house in 3 days. I spent a lot of time in real estate. I'm a licensed broker in a few states, and I can tell you, Rob DeKansky is the best. We're happy to have him on board, Speaking Millennial. Our other big sponsor for 2018, CSI Group. The CSI Group, you can reach them at 1-800-TAX-LAWS or csicpa.com. This is a family business, but they've got locations all over New York and New Jersey. And I'm going to tell you, taxes are too complicated to go it alone. Don't think that you're going to go online and just plug and play and get it done. You don't want to have a letter from the IRS a couple years after you file your taxes and find out you made a big mistake. And the CSI Group will give you a free consultation. So all you got to do is call them at 1-800-TAX-LAWS and they will help you out. Remember, you don't know what you don't know. I'm happy to talk about one of our sponsors, great sponsor, good friend, Vinny Brand, owns the Stress Factory in New Brunswick. The website is stressfactory.com. Vinny Brand runs one of the great comedy clubs, honestly, in the country. Not only does he have A-list comics coming in almost every single week, but the show is great. The food is fantastic. The staff, the service, there's parking right next door. If you've not discovered the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, you've got to get there. Go to stressfactory.com and buy your tickets. It's a great night out, reasonable cost. absolutely hilarious entertainment, great food, and hospitality. StressFactory.com.
Looking for a car, new or used? This is Jay Black to tell you there's no better destination than our friends at the Flemington Car and Truck Country family of brands, located on Route 202 and 31 in Flemington and at Flemington.com. Here you will find 16 automotive brands, plus over 500 available certified pre-owned vehicles to fit every budget. You'll get the financing, the trade-in value, and the credit you need, and dependable vehicle service maintenance that delivers peace of mind. Choose from Ford, Lincoln, Audi, Volkswagen, Porsche, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, Infiniti, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, BMW, and Subaru. Shop them all, knowing every Flemington Car and Truck Country location has earned the coveted dealer-rated customer satisfaction award for 2017 based on your reviews. The Flemington Car and Truck Country family of brands, an honest, straightforward organization that has been satisfying customers for over 40 years. Family. Independent, not corporate. Visit any of their 8 dealership locations on routes 202 and 31 in Flemington or at Flemington.com. There's a lot of really cool stuff about our new sponsor, Tito's Handmade Vodka. And I could tell you about all of it. I could tell you how great it tastes. I could tell you how it's the best way to relax after a hard day. I could tell you that it's distilled from corn, so it's gluten-free. I could tell you that it's made right here in America, in Texas. And not just Texas, the best part of Texas, Austin. It's the best part of Texas. I tell you the thing I love most about Tito's Handmade Vodka. They use old-fashioned pot stills, and they taste test every batch. It's the same way that they make fine single malt scotches and high-end French cognac. Why is this amazing? Well, it's amazing because, as John F. Kennedy said, we don't go to the moon because it's easy. We go to the moon because it's hard. And this is a harder way to make vodka, but it makes for better vodka. That's why it's handmade vodka, and that's why you got to go out and get Tito's Handmade Vodka right now.
All right, so that was good. See, Jay, I feel like you got a lot out.
Yeah, no, I think I you like need to understand you. That it's my sadness does not come from a liberal place. My sadness comes from a place of not understanding how we are going to move forward with a reality that no one can agree on. Because whatever it is you say or whatever it is anybody says who's in the media, someone will come along and go, no.
Yes, it's always not been that. You know this country fought a war. Like between the states. We have been fighting since go. No one's ever agreed. Back to the founders.
I'd prefer not to fight another war, though, between the states.
No,
you know, that's, ideally, we don't fight
wars. Things are so good right now that all the intellectual academic liberals are going to be left behind looking at 2020 and say, I don't understand what happened. How did this work? How did this guy win? And I would love to do an over-under on the Electoral College in 2020.
So when you brought up the economy... Here, a legitimate question for you. Okay.
Yeah.
The Dow has been stagnant for about the past six months, right? That's after $1.5 trillion stimulus package is put through in the form of tax cuts. That was less than half the size of the ones in 2008, 2009, that it was like a booster rocket on the economy. Does that trouble you when you look at that economy? Because
No, for two reasons. Because the stock market's only one factor. And I think if you're looking at working class folks, they're looking at two things. One, do I have a 401k?
Right.
Or do I have a pension?
Right.
Or do I have a job? And I look at, I always use the example in television is with the difference between like a union shop and a non-union shop. The protection of union jobs has cost jobs over time.
Yep.
And I think that if you look at
I'm not talking about unions. I'm talking about wages, Bill. Wages haven't gone up. They've been
relatively flat, but they're starting to go
since
up.
1970.
Well, right, but I can't blame that on Donald Trump.
No.
I would argue George Bush has as much to do with that, with the last disastrous stimulus package
100%.
Where they just poured money in. I've said this. John McCain would have had a much better run if he had, remember in that October, he suspended his campaign, went to Washington, said, I'm going to vote on this stimulus package. And that was my first real Republican crisis, saying, I don't think I'm a Republican anymore because I can't support McCain. And I can't support Bush. And they're spending, $1 trillion on this stimulus package, whatever the number was. And it's like a 3-page memo from the Secretary of the Treasury. Here you go. Just take it. I'm like, who in their right mind would hand George W. Bush a blank check with the taxpayers' money? So I'm saying I think everyone back to Reagan has failed when it comes to economic stimulus.
Absolutely.
Now, I believe because the only thing that was going to ever stimulate the economy is let people get out there and do what they do and start their businesses and be free of regulation. That's going to stimulate the economy.
But every economist in the world is saying that you need middle class. You need the middle class to be vibrant. You need these people to make money.
I agree with them.
So, okay. I mean,
I think they've redefined the middle class. In all honesty, I think the challenge is I think they've moved the bar on what the middle class is. You know, middle class in West Virginia, Alabama, Kentucky, very different than middle class in New Jersey. Middle class in New Jersey, you're barely surviving in New Jersey if you make $100,000 a year. That's an incredible statistic.
That's the problem.
It's a huge problem.
Have you ever read Piketty's Capital in the 21st Century? Mm. It's a brilliant book, and it talks about wealth inequality. And he charts it over the past 250 years. And he has us going into sort of a new gilded age. And his solutions are – even he says they you can't do them politically. He's talking about a global tax on wealth and all this stuff. I don't see a really good way to build up the middle class. And I don't think $1.5 trillion in tax cuts for the Kochs and the Mercers is
But that's gonna, not gonna, accurate, though. I mean, honestly, you want to talk about facts. Like, I poured through that bill and looking at the numbers in just a state like New Jersey, you're literally going to have 75% of the state that is going to have a benefit, even if it's only $100.
Okay, then why have the estate tax? Yeah. Why push for the estate tax? Right?
What, to get rid of it?
Yeah. That's what 0.2% of people that are going to be affected by it. And it's going to be people.
I'll give you an example. And I think, okay. I don't know, you might agree with this. I've said this over and over for a couple of years. I said the problem is that we only have two solutions, tax cuts and tax hikes. So the challenge is we're not looking at it in a way that is dynamic. So
I agree with that. Yeah.
Right. So I said, what if we just passed a $5 millionaires tax in New Jersey, right? So $5 million and up, you're going to pay an exorbitant amount of money. I said, well, you've only got 2,100 people in New Jersey that make more than $5 million a year. So they're going to now pay more. You could take 100% of all their income over $5 million and you could not balance this $37.5 billion budget. So I said, what if you got on the phone to your ad agency and said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to run ads in New York, Philadelphia, Boston, and Washington and say, if you make more than $5 million, we want you to move to New Jersey and you're going to be taxed at 0% over $5 million. So the guy making $30 million, the guy making $20 million, $10 million, because they're out there, come here. We'll take your first $5 million. I said, somebody do me the math. I'll bet you I could find 2,000 people to move to New Jersey and you could literally double the number of millionaires. But nobody thinks like that. And I said this to my Republican friends. I said, you could never sell that politically because the ad would be, you gave a break to the guy making $5 million a year.
But it still wouldn't solve the problem of wealth inequality. You would still have people.
You'd have more wealth inequality. Wealth equality is not a goal. That's a philosophical difference.
Yeah, but you don't want this top-heavy society.
I mean, why not? Why not?
Because
I'm making
$1 billion
a year doesn't hurt me. Because he buys planes, he builds boats.
This isn't envy. This is the fact that you won't have a consumer base. You literally won't have people who can go out and buy things.
You have jobs, and that's the key. And I think that
but jobs don't pay anything because we don't have any. I don't know. If you want to get rid of unions, okay, then have a high minimum wage and universal health care.
No, but that doesn't work. I mean, you look at these countries that have tried this and the
yeah, those Scandinavians are really hurting.
You talk about social issues. Look at the UK. My daughter lives in London. We talk about this all the time. I'm friends with a lot of these biotech guys. Their kids who were sick and dealing with experimental medicine would all be dead if they were in the UK. So it is really a function of if you're going to triage healthcare.
Wait, hold on.
Because you're playing on the burden of taxpayers.
Wait, I think we need to wrap up the episode, but I will say there's two words, Space Force. I think ultimately that's going to solve a lot of the problems.
Right. I don't know if I would join Space Force, but I like the concept of Space Force. I would like to have a competition on this podcast as to what the Space Force logo should look like.
I think that Donald Trump has already designed one in crayon. And I think that he passed it to Eric and Don Jr.
I think we're going to have a lot more to talk about. We'll do a separate episode just to discuss economic policy.
So since this has already gone long, let's say goodbye, but then we can do the wraparounds real fast and then bring Nicole. What do you say? Because we're already at
I want to say thank you, Mike. Great talking to you.
This is fun.
I love it. I can't wait to do the next day. You guys are going to see me on stage and be like, I just want to fight him over Trump. I can't even be funny right now. I just want to fight him.
I think that this went great.
I do. Jay, finish your monster. All right, listen, follow me on Twitter. I'm at Bill Spadia. Follow Jessica at Chasing Jess Nut. Follow Katie, whatever she told you before, because I already forgot it.
Yep.
K Saracola.
094.
I don't
just
know.
Something like
that. Just 9-4?
I think just 9-4.
All right, Mike, on Twitter? No? You know. All right. And Jay, you'll find him.
You'll find me in
a
gutter.
Thank you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.